morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Our most recent topic of study here at Lenawee County Mission has been introduced as a theology of brokenness. Anybody recall how we briefly tried to attempt to define that?
Yeah, it's a spiritual state by which one is disarmed of one's self-dependence and pride.
He's way straight from Webster's, right?
Did that sound very, very authentic, huh? Yeah, for the purpose of?
To be used by God.
Yeah. It's what we probably better understand. Accepting our woundedness so that we can find wholeness and healing. If we're not going to be honest with ourselves and we're not going to see ourselves truthfully, we're probably not going to encounter God, let alone God's healing type thing. Well, for our listening audience today, then we want to kind of look at a story that's quite familiar to all of us, for most anyways, and that's the story of the prodigal son, we like to call it, as an introduction to this whole theology of brokenness. So Doug, would you be ever so kind, maybe read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning at verse 11?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Very good. Very good. Did that ring a bell for you there, Justin? That helped fill in the parts?
Yes.
Parts. All right, gentlemen. Initial responses.
I see some jealousy in there. Like, he was mad that what his father did for him, he was just jealous that he didn't do it that for him.
Okay. All right.
He wanted to have the fat calf and he didn't get it.
Yeah, you ever been like that?
Oh,
it's gonna fit. I worked so hard.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna lie, I don't get it.
Ungrateful.
Okay. Good. Anybody else?
I like the forgiveness part. Father forgave him. Brother had a tough time doing that, of course, but God forgives us of everything we do when we come back to him. And that's just kind of awesome.
Okay.
Like when he says the younger one said to his father, give me a share of your estate. Isn't that usually what happens, like after the father dies and passes away, they get the share of their estate?
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, like, you're like dead to me? I don't know, like.
Yeah, man, that's exactly right. Yeah, within a Jewish tradition, when it comes to inheritance, usually it's going to go to the eldest son first, and it tends to happen after the father is deceased. So to ask, even as the younger son, to ask the father to give me my portion of what I'm supposed to get after you're dead, is really saying, you're dead. Now that must have hurt. Huh? Could you imagine your boy comes up to you and say, Daddy, I wish you were dead? So yeah, that's significant. That is. That's a good insight. What else? Anything else jump out at you? You were going
to
say something?
Yeah, I got. I relate to both sons kind of in a way because, I went out there and was lost, you know, and finally broken enough to come back, you know. But then again, sometimes I, like the other son, I'm also lost in that I don't realize what I have and what I have is from God.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
I too can relate with both sons. I've been in the position of going out there and squandering all I have and coming back with my tail between my legs. And like the older son, I've sometimes been in a position where I see somebody else do that, and initially I'm a little envious, you know, especially like in the workplace. I've seen that circumstance, you know, so it's good to be able to reflect on both sides.
Good. Anybody else?
I mean, twice he says in there, no longer worthy, he calls your son. It's an act of repentance. Sometimes it keeps us where we're at, you know, as addicts that, you know, I'm not worthy and I can't do it. I can't. I'll stay with the pigs and, you know, you don't really get any kind of encouragement to actually move forward to anybody. You just think that you are worth nothing, that you are lower than the pigs. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if we read close to the story, he doesn't come back because he's really, if we want to say repentant too much. He comes back to the Father because he's hungry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it says, even the pigs are eating better than I do. At least I can go back to Dad's house and, you know, work on the farm or something. At least I'll get fed. So he kind of still has a selfish motivation to return. The encounter, or that's his motivation to go back. When he arrives back on the farm, right, and he sees Daddy come running out after him, he's touched. You know, he kind of crumbles to his knees or whatever. His clothes are probably rags. His sandals are beat up. Yeah, and we can probably relate to that. And so, in a sense, there's this connotation of humility and I'm sorry, I'm not worthy. Kind of where you're getting that. And it's interesting, if we feel that way, then why is the Father running out to us?
He had unconditional love for his son.
Okay.
He realized that someone broken. He gave into his weakness.
The story is really about the father, right? And the father loves both sons, right? Sometimes if we wanted to look, like Justin started off here, at the bitter son, the resentful son, the elder son, sometimes we feel we have to do certain tasks, certain works in order to receive the father's love. Because his bitterness comes out of the fact, he says, look, I've done all these tasks, I've done all this work, And you've never celebrated me, so he has an unspoken expectation that if I work hard, you're going to bestow your love upon me. Now we all talk about you can't earn God's grace; it's just freely given. So even bitterness will arise when we think we have expectations that are not being met because of our efforts, and in doing so, we will fail to receive God's love. Yeah, we can run away to a far country, a distant land, go away. And we've all pretty much encountered that. Only to come home and find out that God seems to run out to us. So if you wanted to put those two stories with the father in the middle, right? And we can relate to, both, as Doug said, to both both sons. Let's call them brothers of ours. Okay. So what's it say about God?
His glory, I don't know if it's His glory is when we find Him or He finds us.
Okay, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Is we don't choose God. God chose us. We fail to receive God's choice of us when we think lowly of ourselves. I'm not worthy of God's love. The self-loathing you were talking about, Brent? All right, the sense of rejection, our self-rejection. I'm not good enough. All right, to receive God's love, and yet God chases out after us because God chooses us. The other side is, I think, well, I'm good enough for God's love. I've done all this work, so of course God has to love me. And when God doesn't love me on my terms because of everything that I think I've done that deserves God's love, well, then I get angry, I get bitter, I become resentful. So one of the first things we need to realize is we don't choose God. God chooses us, and God chases out after us. So the big question on the table is, can you accept the fact that you're worth being found?
Takes time. Takes, you know, getting to know God to accept that He loves me, you know? For me personally, anyways, it hasn't been until I was here at the mission for a while, and studied the word, you know, that I truly believe now that God does love me. And it does help me with the ability to love myself.
Mm-hmm.
To understand that if I'm good enough for God, then who am I to question my value?
I think that's a core question for our spiritual formation. You know, is you know, how are we struggling? You know, with issues of self-rejection, self-acceptance, low self-esteem. As general, we've all participated in this idea and how we manipulate others in order to get that. And we can all look good on the outside. We can all put on a face of success and smiles and all that other stuff, but really, deep down inside, do you really think you're worth loving? Because according to Scripture, God says you are. And if we look at the life of Jesus, this is His one aim. It's what it's all about. It's revealed to us that despite what you think of yourself, God chooses you. That God loves you. That's kind of huge.
It almost seems like you have to be stripped of everything, you know, just completely bare to lose everything, you know, in order to be found and to find you, because that's the only way that you can actually believe in yourself that He loves you, you know, that you don't have to have the job or make the money. Well, for me, it was my addiction. Like, you know, I couldn't see past it, and you know, it was so strong, I couldn't believe it. You know, until something bad happened, until I got myself in a position where, you know, He could actually work with me. And
yeah, even the pigs were eating better than you are.
Exactly.
And so that tends to be kind of our first desire to try and return. But once we return, there's something about realizing that the Father, that God is chasing out after us. Why? Because God had a first love that existed before you wished that He was dead. He loved you before you wished He was dead. He loved you before you started rejecting yourself, holding yourself in contempt. He loved you before you were trying to earn His love. It's the first love.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.